You see, here's the problem. The only thing that will satisfy God, the only thing that can make you acceptable to Him, is righteousness, perfect righteousness. It's a good newsletter, we've been learning that, but we've gotten halfway through chapter 3, and you could be forgiven for thinking otherwise. There's been an awful lot of bad news. God is angry. God is angry with everybody, and there is not one of us who has an excuse that stands. There is none righteous, no, not one. You might think you're not so bad. You might think God will be okay with me. Don't kid yourself. God is angry with everybody. And you know what that means. Death, hell, forever and ever and ever. Be afraid. Be very afraid. There is none righteous. No, not one. And there's not a thing any of us can do about it. It's totally hopeless. You see, here's the problem. The only thing that will satisfy God, the only thing that can make you acceptable to Him, the only thing He is not angry with is righteousness, perfect righteousness. And you, I don't care how good you are or how hard you try, you are so far short of that, that it's way out of sight. It's unreachable. And even if you could reach it, well, it's too late anyway because you've already blown it. What do you think righteousness looks like? Try to imagine this. God is righteous, perfectly righteous, not a single fault. Not a single sin ever, perfect in all His ways, perfect love, perfect goodness, perfect justice. That's righteousness. Can you even imagine that? It's important to try, and that's why God gave us His law. He gave us His law, the Ten Commandments and all the rest of it, to give us some inkling of what righteousness is. He knew nobody would ever be able to keep it all. How well have you done in keeping God's law? Even just the Ten Commandments in your life so far, how have you been doing? And remember, you break just one and that's righteousness out the window. And as if that's not bad enough, Jesus says, and we should have known it all along, it's not just enough to keep God's law outwardly, it's got to come from the heart. You've got to be so thoroughly up to the mark that there isn't even a bad intention, not even a thought of a bad intention. That's what righteousness is. So, God is righteous. There's not a hint of anything in Him that's not righteous. He can't be anything other than righteous. He can't have anything to do with anything or anyone that is not righteous. Hence the anger. What a mess. What a hole for us to be in. Not in a million years could any of us ever be righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. But, says Paul, listen to this. We're going to read now from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, those have been described by some people as the most important verses in the Bible. I can't say if they are or not. You're going to have to make up your own mind on it. But they're certainly way up there with the best, because these verses take us right to the very heart of the good news that this letter is all about. We're going to spend the rest of our time this morning thinking about them. They're all about righteousness. They're all about God's righteousness. And I have picked out seven things for you that Paul has to say about God's righteousness. Number one, the kind of righteousness Paul is writing about here has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with keeping rules. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. So we're talking about a different kind of righteousness. Well, this could be good news, because as we've already said, nobody can keep the law anyway. The best the law can ever do is show you how sinful you are. Righteousness apart from the law. Number two, this righteousness isn't something new that Paul has come up with. It's been talked about for a long time. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This kind of righteousness that has nothing to do with keeping the law is talked about all through the Old Testament. It's everywhere if you look out for it. Let me give you just some examples. Psalm 98, the Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Isaiah 56, my salvation is about to come and my righteousness is to be revealed. Jeremiah 23, now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And Hosea chapter 10, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Now, did you notice what all of those verses have in common? Maybe not, because I went through them quickly. But they all put the righteousness of God, the kind of righteousness Paul is writing about here, they put it alongside salvation. The righteousness of God saves people, saves them from the consequences of their own unrighteousness. That's what this is about. And there is no mention of law keeping or rule keeping. This could be very good news. Now, Paul's going to have a lot more to say about this soon, so we're not going to linger on it. But for now, just the one point, the kind of righteousness these verses are about isn't something new that Paul has come up with. It's in the law and the prophets. It's in the Old Testament. It's been talked about for a very long, long time. Number three. But now the righteousness of God is revealed, even the righteousness of God through faith, to all and on all who believe. You can get this kind of righteousness if you have faith, faith in Jesus. If you trust Jesus, if you take him at his word and live like you do, that's what it means to trust him. That's all it takes. Definitely, this could be good news. Now, of course, it's a big step, believing. It's saying, Lord, I believe what you say and I'm going to live like I do. So I'm going to quit going my own way and I'm going to go your way. I'm going to obey you, even if it seems daft to other people, even if it seems daft to me. It's saying, I'm going to trust you, Lord. It's going to be your way from now on, not mine. It's saying that and then doing it. That's what it means to believe. And that calls for a big turnaround. The word we use for that turnaround is repentance. Believing means repenting of your sin. It means a whole new direction. It means a totally different life. But hey, It's better than having God angry with you, isn't it? Where are we now? I think this is number four. The kind of righteousness that Paul is writing about here is for everybody who wants it. But now the righteousness of God is revealed, even the righteousness of God through faith, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you see that? All who believe. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. Nothing rules you out. This news is just getting better all the time, isn't it? And we've still got three more to go. Number five. Having this kind of righteousness, God's righteousness, means you are justified by grace. Being justified freely by his grace, it says in verse 24. Now, maybe that needs a little bit of mansplaining. Justified and justification are words that are used in the courtroom. A man was considered justified when the judge declared, "All the claims of the law against you are satisfied." Justified doesn't mean that the law has been set aside or its demands relaxed, oh no. It means that all your debts under the law are paid and all your obligations are met. It means you now satisfy all the demands of the law. It means that all those sins, all those times when you put other things in God's place, and all the filth and all the idolatry, it's all paid for. It means that as far as the demands of the law are concerned, there are no more. Just let that sink in. And look, it says, being freely justified by his grace. Freely by his grace. That means there's no cost involved. It's all grace. It means it's undeserved. It's unearned. It's all freely given by God. No obligation, no conditions, no strings attached, no catch. This righteousness means that you're free of all debts and obligations under the law, and it is a totally free gift. You getting interested? Number six. This righteousness means being redeemed. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And redeemed basically means set free. People who got Paul's letter first would have appreciated this one because a lot of them probably were slaves. A slave was owned by his master. He was a piece of property. His master could do what he liked with him. He had to do whatever his master demanded. He had no choice and there was no way out for him. There was no way out, that is, unless somebody redeemed him. Somebody had to pay the price to buy him out of slavery and set him free. Can you imagine the feeling? I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. I can go where I want. I can be what I want. Free. Now, Paul has just, in the earlier chapters, proven that we are all slaves to sin. We can't keep the law and we can't stop sinning. And now he says this righteousness of God means being redeemed. It'll set you free from the grip of that sin and you will no longer be a slave to it. Now again, Paul's going to explain it all in more detail later in his letter, but for now, just get this. God's righteousness will set you free. Free, free, free. And number seven, the last one. This kind of righteousness, God's righteousness, means that you need no longer worry about God being angry with you. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. To propitiate somebody means to placate his anger, but not in the sense of just soothing him and calming him down. That's what we do, isn't it? You know, somebody's angry with you, you try to talk around it, talk him down, get his mind off the thing that's annoying him. That's not what this is about. Paul has just told us that God is angry with everyone. Well, what about that anger? What's going to happen to it? If God's righteousness means I'm justified and means I'm redeemed, what about all that fierce anger? Does God just say, well, doesn't matter anymore? Does he just switch it off and stop being angry? Has he just been talked around? Has God been soothed? Has God been calmed? Because, I mean, if that can happen, if God can just switch off his anger like that and switch it on again and switch it off again, if he can just say it doesn't matter and there's no need to be angry anymore, if God can say that, well, his anger was never justified in the first place. God's anger was either deserved or it wasn't, and if it was deserved, it's going to go on being deserved. It can't just go away. No, Paul says, God's anger doesn't just go away. The anger is propitiated. And by that he means that Jesus took all that anger on himself when he died on the cross. He absorbed it all. God, angry with all the sins of everyone who would ever be saved. The anger can't just be set aside. God pours it all out on his Son until there is no more left. That's what a propitiation is. Jesus holds up his shed blood and says, look, Father, I died. I took it all for everyone who believes. There is no more. Now you tell me, is that good news or is it not? Is it not the best news ever? Why would God do that? Why would God allow that to happen to his own Son? Verse 25, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In the past, and even yet, God has not poured out the full blast of his anger. You know that. We all know that. We have sinned, but we haven't felt the full force of God's anger. And all through Old Testament times, people sinned, but they didn't feel the full blast of God's anger. Yeah, there were some big things happened, but never had anyone felt the full blast of it. God, in his forbearance, passed over sins that were previously committed. He is merciful. Now, some might question that. They might say, well, isn't that God just turning a blind eye to sin? Isn't he letting them get away with it? Is that not unjust? Isn't God being unrighteous himself? Well, that's why Jesus had to be the propitiation for every sin that God would ever forgive, so that God could, on the one hand, pour out all the anger that those sins justly deserved, all the anger that justice demanded. If God held back one tiny bit of his anger, he wouldn't be righteous, he wouldn't be just, you see? So God held nothing back. He didn't turn a blind eye to even one sin. He never does. He poured it all out on the Lord Jesus so that he could be just and at the same time, on the other hand, be the justifier of many. The genius of God. The love of God, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there you go. Amazing good news. There's none righteous, not one. But there's a kind of righteousness that comes from God. It has nothing to do with keeping the law. It's free. It's a free gift. All it calls for is faith. And it's for anybody who wants it. Those who are given his righteousness are justified. They're set free from the grip of sin. And they need no longer be concerned about God's anger. All because of Jesus. What amazing good news. What an amazing God and what an amazing Savior. Let me just wind up with a few comments. Verse 28, Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. I think this is one of the things, if not the thing, that us Christians find hardest to grasp. Justification, righteousness, is a totally separate issue from keeping the law. It's a totally separate issue from keeping the rules. If you're saved, if you have this righteousness from God, keep the whole of God's law if you can, but you will not be one bit more saved than if you'd kept none of it. And break it all if you can, and you'll not be one bit less saved than if you had kept all of it. Being righteous before God depends on one thing, and one thing only. Do you have faith or do you not? It's a free gift, and it's freely given by grace, unearned, undeserved. How could I put that more plainly? Many of us struggle with thoughts like, well, what if I'm not good enough? I have failed God. How can I be saved? I got it wrong. God is angry with me. I'm a total failure. Now, I know what you're thinking. Does that mean I can just do anything I like? And that's an important question, and Paul's going to deal with it very thoroughly later on in his letter. So be patient, but for now, be sure. Your salvation, your justification, your righteousness has absolutely nothing to do with keeping rules or keeping laws. And by the way, you're meant to be happy about that. Verse 22, again, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nobody who can't have this righteousness that we're talking about this morning. I don't care what you've done or haven't done. We're all in the same boat. We're all unrighteous and we all need God's righteousness. If you have lived a totally debauched life, you need God's righteousness. But at the same time, if you grew up in a Christian home and were the most obedient model child, you need God's righteousness just as much. And if you're not saved yet, you can have this righteousness if you'll only ask and take Jesus at his word and believe. And lastly, when we finished last week, I'm sure I must have sent you home quite depressed. There's none righteous. God is angry with everyone. We're all doomed, doomed without hope. But now the righteousness of God has been revealed. And it has nothing to do with the law. It's a totally free gift for anyone who wants it. All it takes is faith. And those who have this righteousness are free from every obligation under the law, and they're free from the grip of sin, and they need no longer be concerned about God's anger. God has achieved the impossible in the Lord Jesus Christ. And doesn't that make you glad? Doesn't it make you want to bow down and worship? What a God. What a Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what we have been learning through this letter written by Paul to the church in Rome. It has brought before us the extent of our sinfulness. It has brought before us the impossibility of our situation before an angry God. And, oh, Father, it has brought us to the point where we are crying out, is there no hope? And now you have brought us to this glorious truth, but the righteousness of God is revealed. Thank you, Lord, that it's freely available, that it doesn't depend on our efforts, doesn't depend on anything we do, but it is your free gift. We pray that you would stir up in us a sense of wonder and amazement and cause our hearts to overflow in joy and worship. Amen.